So welcome, everyone, on this beautiful day of August 19th. And for this day, we are most grateful. I'm most grateful for you and for having our whole congregation of friends available and together and ready to offer and receive the blessings of Yeshua, which are always here for us at all times. But we don't make ourselves ready often to receive. We're more interested in focusing on what we don't have, what we didn't get, what we're just concerned we can never get. And you know, sometimes we do need adjustments of reality. I'll give you an example. Let's say we have a couple raising a young family. Now, there are exceptions to things like this, but the probability is they will not pick up and move to Central Africa while the children are young. There have been couples who did, but the probabilities are not high. They're not high that will happen because of the nesting phase, the family phase, and what would grandma and grandpa say if they all of a sudden their grandchildren were out of reach. So sometimes when we feel sorry for ourselves about not being able to do something, we just need a reality adjustment. There were some days after I began, after I had my first visitation with Yeshua and began my presentations to the world, then on into the recorded messages, and in into the books, traveling every weekend, there were times when I would feel sorry for myself that I wasn't painting anymore. And I was thinking, oh, well, poor me. That's what I came to this earth to do. But I had to just sit myself down in a chair and say, but Glenda, you had a choice. And I could actually hear Yeshua saying the same thing to me. But Glenda, you had a choice. And then I said, but I did have a choice, and I made the choice I wanted. Forgive me, Lord, for being on my pity pot. I am so thoroughly enjoying what I'm doing. The fact is, it's from joy that I no longer have time to paint. So that's what I mean by a reality adjustment. Sometimes we can bring into our reality the many other things we might wish or think, well, if I weren't doing this, I could be doing that. And we forget to be grateful. We forget to really celebrate the things we are doing and understand how important are the things we're really doing. And I actually want to focus upon the spirit of gratitude today for our inspiration. I'll get back to speaking with you before we move into the blessing at the half hour. But in the meantime, we have two people in our Q&A queue. And for those of you who are new, here's how you join if you want to put your telephone in the Q&A. First of all, make sure your personal telephone is not muted because I can't unmute your personal telephone. And the second thing is you press star 6, listen for the prompt, and then press 1. And that brings your telephone number up into my monitor where I can see, oh, gee, there's Desmond, and he wants to talk. So, Desmond, we're going to bring you on.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi.
Hi. It's nice to hear your voice, and I love hearing Janet. She comes on early with me every time, and she shared a beautiful story about her family. And I'm just so grateful that I learned quite a bit from her. And I'm also grateful for all that I learned from you. I wanted to say, though, I went to church today, and I learned a thing about I've been reading. I've had chapter 20 prayer meditation like hundreds of times, and I finally put it down in a pictograph, and I kind of understood it, that the I am of my being is the spirit of God dwelling within inside of myself. and that I am that I am is kind of like connecting with the center of another being. And if in case they're not connected with God, being able to, or even if they hate, and to be able to love them and help them restore their connection with God. And that brings all things into fulfillment in a way.
This is true, Desmond, and all epiphanies bring great unique truths for each one of us. And I'll tell you another secret about I am that I am. We tend to go through life recognizing the I am within us, but we will say I am because, I am this way because, or I am this way as a result of, or I am this way in order to do that which I came to do.
I do that often.
In other words, it's conditional. Now,
right.
The I am that I am is the unconditional expression of I am. And when you're in the unconditional expression of I am, you more easily can move into union with God, but also an empathic union with your fellow beings.
Right, that's that bright light within your heart that I noticed that you're able to even share with me through the way that I said I am that I am.
So we turn on the light when we are that we are. To say I am that I am is the being or the beingness version of unconditional love. We could go through life saying I love because or I love this for all that it brings me or all I wish to get from it. And it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with loving that way, but we do have to recognize that we've placed conditions on that love, right?
Right, and there's a greater love, and the love that I absolutely enjoy is the unconditional love because it feels so much more unified, you know.
Indeed, because the unconditional love directly connects with the unconditional I am. And so, yes, you're getting there. You're having great realizations, and thank you so much for sharing. I know it means a lot to others. And just as you get on the call early to be with Janet and you tell your stories, I just want to emphasize how important it is, especially to new people, to hear the voice of those who have truly gained from the blessings of Yeshua. And anytime you want to share that, those gains, it means so much to other people, because often we receive blessings that are so subtle we don't pause to even say that it happened. But when somebody else recognizes that it happened, you can say, oh, you know, I felt that too. I realized that also. I had the same thing happen to me. There's something about the way reality is created through sharing and examining comparable experiences with others. That it's all strengthened much more. And this is one of the other great reasons to express our gratitude. I'm going to take a call from area code 702, and you're on.
Glenda?
Yes.
This is Janet.
Yeah, hi, Janet.
Good afternoon. I have first of all, I would like to ask for a blessing for myself and my husband and his family. His mother passed away this week. And I did want to share that her favorite, she didn't belong to any church, and she believed, I used to read to her, she was in hospice, out of your books. And her favorite place to be was my home because she felt such love and peace. So we had the whole ceremony here, and it was just beautiful. And I was so honored that they asked me to start it out with the prayer. And I just thought I would share that because it was so intimate and everybody shared.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you for sharing with us. And actually, I do want to add that, yes, there's always grief when we lose someone we love because we know that we're going to miss them, like, forever. And we're also a little concerned about whether they made their transition peacefully without pain. So our love takes us into places of grief, and we share our grief, and it's only natural. Even Yeshua wept. There's something about weeping that's cleansing. But that being said, and that being passed through, there's an extraordinary opportunity to be obtained when someone you deeply love passes on to into the world of spirit, because they take a part of you with them. And I have noticed those I loved who passed on have broadened the base of my spiritual understanding immensely, because they've taken a piece of me, the part of me that loved them, that they loved, into a pure spiritual realm. And I have found unconditional love, more effortless, unconditional being, more obvious, and it has accelerated my spiritual growth. So you, as you say goodbye on the earthly plane, please embrace the fact that you're all experiencing an initiation to be together on a higher plane.
Thank you so much. I love you.
I love you, too. And we have another caller from area code 860. June?
Hi, Glenda.
Hi.
Say thank you. Your books and blessings have been recommended to me by a friend and spiritual counselor. It's been helping me get through the loss of my husband. He passed away suddenly in February, and this person had told me that he basically sacrificed his love so that I could go on and be the person that I am. And of course I became furious, because that just sounded to me like a life had to be taken for no reason. And I don't know, I guess I'm still struggling with the fact of what is it that I'm being called to do. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I listen, and I keep listening to some of your old messages and keep rereading your books, but there's a part of me that I'm still, like, really upset with God. It's like, you know, not even having a chance to say goodbye, and I don't know. I've suffered a lot of loss in my life, but this has, like, been the biggest.
My heart is with you, June, and I really do feel for you. Did you say it's been about 6 months?
Yeah, it's gonna, August 27th, it'll be 6 months. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the first 6 months are always the hardest, and everything that is part of our grief requires us to look at in relation to our life. And so it's a very difficult inventory. But I can say this for you, and that is that in the purest sense of what life is, no life has ever ended, ever. It's only physical incarnation that comes to an end. Life simply doesn't end. And another thing I want to assure you is that relationships do not end. They transition into a different way of relating. And I feel for you that this came without enough preparation on your part, that you couldn't brace yourself up for it. But you will. You will. You will get your strength. It's okay to grieve. It's okay even to be angry, because anger is actually one of the recovery symptoms of grief. And one of these days you will wake up and you'll look at the grief and the anger and see them as part of a process that allowed you to eventually reunite with your husband in a different way, on a higher plane. And just be assured, no relationship ever ends. No life ever ends. It's just one of those things. Death is one of those dramatic and traumatic changes we go through. even birth is traumatic. And it actually follows, as Edgar Cayce was very wise in saying, he told people, and he would even draw up a whole different birth prediction for people, and he would say birth actually begins 6 months, somewhere between 6 hours and 6 months before the physical birth, where the families are united, the life path is chosen, it's created, the relationships are developed, and physical birth is just one of those traumatic insertions that causes a limitation of viewpoint to where then you have to spend the rest of your life discovering what you decided to do 6 months before you were born. So he was looking at the gradient scale, if you will, from the other end of the perspective. Now what you're doing is you're examining, how do I go on from here? What were the agreements my husband and I had? And how will we carry them forward to a fulfillment with grace and love, even though he's not physically here to participate? And June, I think that's the path you're going to walk through.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, and God bless you. What was your husband's name?
Jim.
Jim. We'll remember Jim in the blessing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, it's getting... We have time for another call or two, or I could just begin my message. If no one checks on right away, I will. And the basic of this message today is we have a choice of where our viewpoint lies. Sometimes, or maybe many times, we don't get to choose what's in the outer world around us, because we live in a very big universe on a planet with her needs, shared by billions of people with their needs, and a complex society and nature and weather and many things that we cannot single-handedly orchestrate. Although at times, when we're really, really in the power of our being, we can make an awesome contribution, even an awesome adjustment that benefits everyone. At times that does happen. But most of the time, our biggest choice is, how are we going to view this? Are we going to view it with doubt, reservation, fear, joy, gratitude? These are just a few among the many choices. It could be a rainy day, and we can say, oh, what a great day to catch up on my sleep. Bingo, it's done. That day's been put to a positive use. Or we could say, oh, it's a rainy day, then this was my day to play golf. Bummer. And so then it becomes a day we resent. Well, let's see, I'm going to... I think we've got a little static on the line, so I'm going to go back in and mute the people who were on our call. Maybe that will handle it. Okay. And so we could say, well, I just feel bad about this day. I didn't get to do what I wanted to do. And then everything else goes bad. You know, that choice was yours. What you do with that day is yours. It could be that same rainy day you wanted to play golf. Instead of playing golf, you call your buddies, have them over to the house, and have a poker game instead. And have a blast. And actually get caught up on visiting and talking the way you didn't before. And the wife wants to contribute to your day off because she knows you need them. So she goes out and buys this some great treats for you and make sandwiches for you. And it just turns into a wonderful event. I have found in my years of making selections about how I view a day that the best attitude adjustment for making the best ultimate choice is gratitude. There's always something to be grateful for. You can be grateful that you're alive. You can be grateful you don't live in a war zone. You can be grateful that there's food on the table. I know we focus sometimes on our hardships. We look at our bank book and there's not enough there, and we look at our debts and we say, oh, dear God, please help me. But the fact is, there's always someone worse off than you are. Or there's a little bird that just fell out of the tree. There's always a comparison that you can use for expressing your gratitude, and even without it, even without a comparison of something that is having a harder time than you, you can be grateful unconditionally. And unconditional gratitude is as marvelous, is as miraculous as unconditional love and unconditional being. Because what happens when we move into unconditional gratitude is you send a message to the universe, to nature, and most especially to God our Father, and they scratch their head and say, oh, wow, he's grateful. Let me send something into that gratitude. In other words, you've initiated the cause of being grateful simply by being unconditionally grateful. And the fact is, all the treasures of the universe are out here already. They just need a shipping label put on them. And your unconditional gratitude, more than anything else, causes a shipping label to be put on the love, the joy, the gold and the silver, and the job opportunities, or whatever's out there. It's your expression of gratitude that causes you to become the recipient of what's out there. When you mumble and you grumble and you complain about, poor me, don't have enough of this, don't have enough energy, don't have enough money, don't have enough friends, don't have a good enough job, poor me, grumble, grumble. What you do is you close the door so tight that when the angel delivery team comes, they just put one of those famous little door knockers on your door, like UPS does, and say, we tried to deliver. Please call us when you're ready to receive. And that's what you get on your door. You may think I'm being silly, but it's true. That really is what you get on your door. Now, what we do in the blessing is we open up your receivership capacity, your ability to be in reception of the blessings of the universe, the blessings of nature, most especially the blessings of God, as conveyed by Yeshua and the Holy Spirit. And what we do with our prayer, this is really the miracle of the prayer you pray, which is why I ask you to pray it for 3 minutes. During the time, the energy of the blessing is being given. And that is because prayer opens up your receiving. And that's why I urge you to pray, not from your troubles, but pray from your gratitude. Pray from, oh, Lord, please, please see my life. I ask you to come in and look for all things that you may improve, for all things you may enrich, and fill the shelves of my life with all the bounties of your goodness. You may leave a prayer as open as that, or you may just say, praise be to you, O God, the bringer of all good things, I open my life to you. And then you may specifically address a particular need, a particular desire. But know already that God knows your needs and desires. It's really you who are not willing to open the door, because you're either in a fixed attitude of, I'm mad about this, I resent this, I'm not going to let go of this until I figure out who or what did this to me. You'd be surprised how we hold on to things, because we want answers. As one great teacher I read years ago, and I wish I could give you a name, but the comment lingers in my mind, and the name of the person seems to have vanished momentarily. I'm sure I'll think of him later. He said, the only prison is the prison we put ourselves in as we wait for the answers we seek. We put ourselves in these deeply challenging situations or deeply challenging moments of resistance in order to find the answer. Who did it? What happened? How can I make sure it doesn't happen again? Now, I know that for many of you, this is a can seem like a very bitter external challenge, but you can begin turning this challenge around with an attitude of gratitude. What, no matter what your condition, because you open yourself up to blessings that then begin healing the wound. Eventually, you will get up one morning and you'll say, "What wound? I don't know why I was as upset about this as I was. I feel well. I feel happy. It's sad that I went through that, but it's so much better now. I feel like I can embrace life and move forward." Well, this is how we feel when we let go of our need to have an answer. The fact is, we live in a vast universe with many, many unexplained situations for which we will never have an answer. This is what Job struggled with. He wanted an answer on everything. He wanted an answer for why his life turned bad, went south. He fell out of favor with his family, his community, lost all his wealth, and he just wanted to know why. And God said, "Where were you when I hung the Pleiades? Where were you when I put the whales in the great ocean?" And Job kind of looked with awe. His jaw dropped, and he said, "Lord, I know not of any of your secrets." And then he realized that in joining with God in the unconditional self of union with God, answers to those secrets simply didn't matter. And his conclusion that turned his life around is, he said, "If I could only be with thee, O Lord, nothing else would matter. I would have it all." And in that moment, everything was restored to Job. So, obviously, what we can deduce from that, what happened to Job, is that he went too far into the field of separation. And he even used his abundance, his good fortune, his popularity, and his good times to justify the idea that he could stand alone from God. And he had to find out the hard way that he couldn't. So in this blessing is our opportunity to stand with God. If in any of these blessings, for whatever any of you are going through, if you need deeper and more complete assistance from me under the guidance of Yeshua, feel free always to call our office and check into the opportunity for personal counseling. I do offer that. It's on an hourly basis, and many people have completely turned their life around because all they needed was just a little private time to assimilate these basic truths with someone who had compassion and understanding for them. But now I call you into the presence of someone who always has compassion and understanding for your needs, who is always with you unconditionally, who always loves you unconditionally. That is our friend, our brother, the Son of God, Yeshua, who walked on earth as we do, that everything he taught might be fully relevant to who we are. And now I would ask that you join him in your heart by simply releasing and relaxing everything in your attention. I'm going to take a moment to move out of our and make sure we're fully muted. And take your shoes and socks off. Be seated with your back erect, but not uncomfortably erect, just so that the flow of energy can come through the cosmos, from the cosmos through your head, in, down through your spine, through the base of your spine, through your legs, and into the earth. We're going to create a flow from the heavens to the earth that passes through your heart, circles around in your heart, into the earth, comes back and circles around in the other direction in your heart, and then back to the heavens. So it is in your heart that you will meet Yeshua. He will hold that strong for you. Your feet upon the ground will be a magnet to all the blessings from the earth. Your head open to the heavens will bring in the blessings of God. The Holy Spirit will literally be the energy embodied. I ask that you be ready to receive and be open to receiving. I will offer my invocation to Yeshua, and then I would ask that any blessing givers who care to join me may do so, and the rest of you simply relax, be in your faith, and receive. As soon as the blessing is complete, go and rest for 7 minutes. Don't think. Just rest with a blank mind and an open heart. Allow all of the energy of the blessing to be assimilated by your whole body, heart, and soul. And be refreshed for this day and the coming week. Be ready now. Dear Yeshua, thank you for being with us now and always. Thank you for walking among us as one of us, that we may know that all that you taught is relevant to us, and that we may receive as you received, that we may heal as you have healed, that our faith may be as strong as yours, that the human vessel is no impediment to the fulfillment of God's presence on this earth. It merely is a vessel that we use for the convenience of living and for connecting fully between heaven and earth during our time of living on this earth. Help us to know that our life itself is eternal, that life itself neither begins nor ends, that we have a journey that has a span of time on this earth, and for that span of time, we give blessings. We give gratitude. We invest our hope and our faith, knowing that whatever we learn on this journey will nurture us and nourish our soul eternally. We thank you for all those we have known along the way, our friends, our teachers, our helpers, the people who supported us in life, and the people who have helped to provide for our life, knowing that we are all one family, one network of coexistence. We ask your blessings upon the health and sanity of this human network, that we may strive to be at peace, that we may strive to love one another, and that we may strive to be as one to another, bringing the best possibilities to this earth for the good of all. And now we surrender our heart, body, mind, and soul, that you may touch us in the most appropriate way, in our heart, that you may lift us from whatever is our trouble and bring the blessings of God into our life and the blessings of the earth up through our life to nurture it as our mother would. Now let us begin the blessing. We thank you, O Yeshua, for being the provider of this blessing and giving your life into it. Amen. Your blessings are complete. Now go and rest, assimilate for 7 minutes, and be with God. Know that you are very loved. And come back to see us next week. We love having you, and we love you.